You'll turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. We're continuing praying with recipients of the Holy Ghost. This is part two. Romans 14, verse 15. We're going to read down through verse 23. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God, and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the things which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You can be seated. Paul is speaking here about reducing our freedoms in order to expand our ministry. And this is something foreign to today's culture that we live in, isn't it? People, in most cases, they don't care whether or not they offend anybody. It's their right, and they're going to do what they well please. But this is something that is very foreign in today's culture. Today's culture says that everybody should do their own thing, no matter who it hurts. The result of that is a dog-eat-dog world. So this concept does not work in the church, though. The world may be that way, but it definitely should not be that way in the church. For the church, in order to succeed, there must be personal sacrifice made for the unity of the faith. The major bottom line of Paul's point here is to tell the Roman Christians that their happiness in the kingdom of God does not rest in the things of earth, which include food. But most people, if you're like me, you like to eat. But there's no point in getting bent out of shape over food, since it is all going to pass away anyhow. But the point being that if our particular food is making another brother or sister in the Lord to stumble, then we should be willing to abstain from that food so that they do not stumble in their Christian walk. Amen? You see, even among Christians today, folks, we don't offend, or we don't often find this attitude of, I don't want to offend you. Today, the attitude is this: I don't care who it hurts. I don't care who's offended. I'm going to have what I want. And while we should not be expected to be constantly walking on eggshells, and it is impossible to please everybody all the time, folks, we should not ignore the passage that what it's speaking about. Paul was addressing this issue because God does not want Christians to miss out on one of the most important aspects of serving him. And that it is amazing the thing that caused some people to go astray. And he is telling this to hopefully prevent anyone from going astray. So if we want to read here Romans 14, verse 17. And this will help us to stay focused and stay on track. It says, Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You see, if everything good in life is made that much better by the power of the Holy Ghost in addition to salvation itself, then it is imperative, amen, that we as a church have a good handle on how to help people receive it. Amen? Because this scripture said righteousness, peace, and joy, how? In the Holy Ghost. Now last week we shared some ideas on praying with seekers, and so we want to go into part two here. Faith is vital to receive the Holy Ghost. The person praying must be expressing faith in their prayers in order to be filled with the Holy Ghost. The altar worker needs to be in tune with the mindset of the seeker in order to be able to help them. You just can't be up there and just, you know, screaming and yelling. You got to be focusing, praying with them, asking God to help you to be a blessing to them. So when we do not know the seeker, and there's often times if somebody may be up here, we don't know them. When you don't know them, we need to listen to the way the seeker is praying. And we also need to be watching the seeker for certain body languages, certain signs from the seeker, such as whether they're frowning or not. You need to watch to see if they're clenching their fist. See if they're smiling. Are they crying? And you can go on and on and on. If repentance is being offered up over and over again in a very repetitive way, the most likely, the seeker does not think that God has forgiven them. You know, if you're hearing somebody, oh, God, I'm so sorry, Lord. God, please forgive me. And they're going on and on and on. You need to have a time of repentance. Don't get me wrong. But it's not the whole time up there. Okay? So they feel that God has not forgiven them. Maybe they are confusing God's forgiveness with their own thoughts. In their mind, they think that God can't forgive them. We know that God can forgive anything. Amen? So people who have repented need to have an altar worker explain to them that even after the sincere repentance, their conscience may be bothered them, and this could be for a good reason, to serve as protection from God to keep them from going back to that old lifestyle. So we want to help them understand that, listen, you know, there's a time of repentance. God can forgive you. You know, and it is a good thing that you are concerned about not wanting to do wrong and, you know, over and over and over. So God can forgive them, and that's what we want to help them to understand. He wants to forgive them. He wants to fill them with the Holy Ghost. So when praying with a seeker who may be wrestling with thinking that they have been too sinful for God to forgive them, it is good to offer that encouragement, such as, hey, God forgave you when you repented. So go ahead, now that you've repented, and start worshiping him. And start praising him. And what that will do, that will liberate the seeker to be able to receive the Holy Ghost so much easier. Because when you help them to understand, God has forgiven you. God loves you. He wants to. He desires to forgive you. But we must ask, and you did very good by asking. So it'll help them when you help them understand it. It can mean the difference, folks, such as trying to play, when you help them to understand that. It's kind of like if they're trying to play an instrument holding the sheet music in one hand and playing in the other hand, or having the sheet music on the music stand. It's easier to play the instrument when the sheet music's on the stand, isn't it? But if they're holding it and trying to play, it's kind of hard. So when you help explain to them, God has forgiven you. He wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost now. So if you just begin to worship, that frees it up. You see what I'm saying? Your words of encouragement can be like that music stand. Here, put it up here and do what you need to do. All right? Just worship God. So encouraging words are liberating words. We need to be sensitive and to what is going on there. And, you know, especially if you've received it yourself, you know what it took for you. And so you want to help them to understand, because people don't understand what they need to do up here. Okay? So listen also for begging type prayers such as, please, Jesus, give me the Holy Ghost. Please, Lord. Okay? This is incorrect type of prayer. And some, yet it is gentle but yet positive instruction. Okay, we have to be very careful in talking to someone. So you want to be gentle about it and you want to be positive at the same time. Instruction should, that you don't want to offend them. Okay? But God wants to give them the Holy Ghost more than they want it themselves. All right? So the Holy Ghost, we have to help them to understand the Holy Ghost is a gift. Okay? Are all of you here expecting to pay for your gift that's under the tree this year? Or in your manger scene, or wherever you have your gifts? Are you expecting to, all right, how much did this cost? No, because it's a gift, right? It's free to you. And so that's what we need to help them to understand. You don't have to beg for it. It's a gift. And so when you help them to understand that this is, you know, you don't need to beg. This comes to you. It's simple. It's free. Faith proclaims, you need to help them to understand, you believe God is going to give it to you. Okay? And that you're speaking faith. And God, if it's for me, I want it. Amen? Worshiping God in faith, believing, is the right way to go. It's the right key. So as the altar workers, we express our faith by our tone. We express our faith by words that we choose to speak to them. So it is vital for us to be fully repented and prayed up before attempting to help somebody else receive the Holy Ghost. And that starts the moment you walk through the door. Or even on your way to church, or whatever it may be, we need to come here prepared. Say, God, use me to be a minister to somebody here in church tonight. Speak to me, Lord. Help me and give me the words. You don't want to come up here and try to get yourself together while somebody else is praying. We need to be ready. That's why we want to have a time of prayer before service. That's why it's important for you to worship the Lord during service, that God will help you to be a blessing and a help to somebody who is not as fortunate as you. So, the words that we use and the way we use these words make a vast difference. So we need to come to church, be repented. While I'm saved, you need to repent every day. Come on. God, help me. Lord, if I've done something wrong today, Lord, I want you to forgive me. And we should avoid such phrases as, come on, keep on, press on, come on. Right? Keep pressing. They're thinking, pressing what? It worked out last night. We got to be careful. We believers, now we understand these kind of things, don't we? But the new seeker, they don't have a clue. What's he want me to press? Is my shirt wrinkled? Right? And we should not expect them to figure out in that few minutes that they're at the altar. We don't want them to sit in there to be thinking, what's he talking about? Because see, when they start thinking about that, they're taking their mind off of praising God. So we have to be careful what we're saying to them. And we have probably all used this one. Keep on. You'll get it. Come on. Right? This is very common, and we've all probably used this in the past. But folks, if we think about it, what impression it leaves on the seeker? It causes the seeker to maybe say to themselves, well, I must not be doing something right. Or how long will this take? Now, I've grown up, and maybe some of you have all been here. You've seen people that have been praying for the Holy Ghost for years. We shouldn't have to tarry for the Holy Ghost. Come on. I was told of a story of a man who would come up to the altar in an apostolic church here in Cleveland years ago. he'd come up and pray, and he wouldn't get it. And every time he gets, well, I guess I'll become a Catholic. You know, he eventually did. Married a woman who was Catholic and went to her church. So, you know, we have to, there's reasons why somebody isn't getting the Holy Ghost. They don't have the faith they need, or they're not wanting to let go of things of the world, or whatever it may be. But you do not have to tarry for the Holy Ghost for years. You just come here and you're ready. God wants to give it to you. God wants to give it to you. So we have to understand that. So if we're telling them, come on, keep on, you'll get it, come on, they're thinking of, well, maybe I'm doing something wrong. How long is this going to take? Or what else should I be doing? Then there's other phrases that can give mixed signals, like, hold on. And somebody will hear saying, turn loose. Right? They're going like, okay, who do I listen to? We got to be careful. None of these phrases made any sense to the seeker and may discourage them from even seeking. Now, we've heard other people use the phrase, these kind of phrases, and so we often pick up on things that we've heard, and we think it's a great approach, and it's all well and good. I'm glad you're up here. Okay? But I want you just to think about what you're saying to them sometimes, and is it making them think, taking their mind and their worship off of who they need to be focusing on? Okay? And there's times when I've had to tell people, you just need to praise God. Well, what do I do? Just tell him, you know, thank him for what you've been a part of here lately, and how he's brought you into this church, and how people have blessed you, and, you know, and that you're alive, or whatever. But just praise him and thank him that you're, for what you're feeling. Just get lost in worship. And if you ever prayed with somebody and you hear them say, repeating what you're saying, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And you know, you change over, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I tell them, you know, hallelujah means I give you my all. So we need to be careful of how we are praying with people and help them to have things that's going to exalt the Lord. Amen? When we think that we need to say something, we often use pattern phrases. And the best thing that we can do is to actually say what needs to happen. That approach probably makes the most sense. Amen? So as the altar worker, we should give clear instructions. Good things to say that help build faith are, that is the Holy Ghost that you're feeling. You're feeling God touching you. When you know, sometimes when I see people begin to weep, and I'm saying, you're feeling the love of God. He loves you. And he's embracing you right now. Things like that, you know, and so you want to help them. You're doing great. Just keep worshiping God. The Holy Ghost, you're feeling the Holy Ghost all over you. And that gives them, that helps them, they get encouraged. Seekers are very often like John the Baptist, as they wonder, is this it, or do we look for another? Right? So we have to help them to understand, you're feeling the Holy Ghost. It's touching you. God is touching you. Seekers, they need to hear those things. So when you tell them that they are feeling the Holy Ghost, faith builds in their heart, and that is our goal, is to help build the faith in them that they need to receive the Holy Ghost. It's important that we are excited about what we have ourselves. And you need to speak that to them sometimes when you taking the time to just kind of explain a few things. This is the greatest thing I've ever experienced. So we need to be excited. So if we are not excited about the Holy Ghost in our lives, you don't need to be in the altar. Right? Then the seekers will wonder, if you're in the altar, they'll wonder even more whether or not they're doing what is right. The atmosphere of our services needs to be continually exciting with heartfelt worship. Your worship makes a difference. You think, well, I'm just one person here out of 100. Your worship makes a difference. Okay? So when you are sharing faith with someone, it is good to build their faith with a personal example. There is nothing wrong with sharing somebody else's story as well, just as long that story will build the faith in the seeker. Amen? So you need to avoid telling negative experiences. I was seeking for the Holy Ghost. I fell and broke my little finger or whatever it is. I'm just making something up. But we need to be careful not to do things or say things that will discourage them. So in a conversation with a seeker, tell them that it is the will of God for them to receive the Holy Ghost. And it's, you know, it can happen anytime, anywhere. Our God wants people to be saved. Amen? He wants to fill people with the Holy Ghost. So we must remember that God will not leave us hanging. So we need to step out on the water and test your faith. Come on. A lot of times we're afraid to say those things because, well, what if they don't get it? Where's your faith? If you don't have the faith that they can get it, then they're never going to have the faith. It breeds itself. Amen? Step out. A young man once said to a coworker that he had become a longtime seeker of the Holy Ghost. He says, if you will come to my church tonight, God will give you the Holy Ghost. And this man's name was Ramsey, and he came. And when the preacher gave the altar call, Ramsey just stayed in the chair. And at the end of the service, tongues went forth with no interpretation. And then you know how when tongues come, there's that deafening silence. Amen? Ramsey jumped up to his feet and shouted, somebody do something! He ran to the altar, raised his hands, and began to speak in other tongues. You see, God will do whatever it takes, folks, to give a person an opportunity to be saved. We have to believe that ourselves. When you believe that, that you understand that God wants to fill people with the Holy Ghost, you can speak that faith. But you have to have the faith. If you don't have the faith that person can receive, you don't need to be here. Go off somewhere else and pray. But we need people around a seeker who has faith, who can speak encouraging things to them and help them to receive the Holy Ghost. We must not be afraid to share the word of God with boldness to those all around us who want the Holy Ghost. You see, they just know how to go about seeking for it. We have to help them. They don't know. The people who come, they don't understand church stuff. All right? Sometimes we worry, what if it doesn't happen? Or, what will people think? What about my reputation? Really? It's not about us. It's about God. We have no reputation outside of God's mercy and grace. Amen? So, if God wants to deal with our reputation, He will. Come on. No matter how much we try to protect it, God will take care of your reputation. It is important that we speak to the seeker in such a way that they can understand and it boosts their confidence. Now, if they get the idea that you are so shy and timid that you wouldn't even share with a golden retriever, they won't think you're very strong in the Lord. You see, the bottom line is this, folks, that the seeker can sense whether or not we believe what we are really telling them. Right? They understand. They can feel that. And, you know, and the devil is going to help their receptors even to feel more. He don't want them at the altar. You know how we all know how people can tell if somebody's fake. Right? So we need to be bold in what we believe. We should never speak of receiving the Holy Ghost in a negative way. We receive the Holy Ghost by the grace of God. Amen? We portray God's Spirit with our words, so we should speak it with love. And all of our righteousness, folks, we know, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. It's not about us. And we must remember that Jesus loves for us and for them, took him to the cross. We must love the seeker just like he does. Come on. You know, sometimes somebody, you might be up here and it might be really rough to be around them. You're like, dear Jesus, help me not to lose my lunch. We got to love them. Jesus loved them. We so much inner turmoil in the seeker's hearts these days. We must be positive. We have had the positive approach. Romans 14:17 was the verse, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Let's stand. So we need to come to church, folks, saying, God, I want to help you. I want to be a blessing. I want to minister. Amen. Give me the faith and portray it to others. Amen. It's important. Don't just come to church because it's time to be there. Come to church with a purpose. Amen. Come to church. God, I'm expecting. We need to try to raise our expectation of what God wants to do. You know, you ever see when they put them little fish in the bowl, they stay a certain size because it's their environment. I remember as a young man in church, they gave away goldfish for people who came. This one family received one of the goldfish, and later, years later, I was at their house, and he said, see that goldfish? Yeah. I got that at Sunday school. I'm like, no way. That thing was huge. Put it in a big tank. It got big. You see, I believe sometimes God blesses in the church service according to our expectation. And if you only have it here, that's where he's going to meet you. How about let's just raise it up a little bit. Come on. God, you can do great things. And God used me to do it. Amen. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you. We ask you to touch each one here tonight. Help us, God, to have a renewed desire and a hunger to see you do great things in our midst. And God, use each one of us, I pray, in Jesus' name. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.